Chapter 40. December 14th of year 18. We are racing above the surface of a star. No human has ever been this close to one of these gigantic fusion power plants that have been illuminating space like beacons since the end of the cosmic dark ages. Looking downward is both fascinating and frightening to me, a reminder of my long-ago approach to Jupiter's moon Io. Back then, we orbited the gas planet at about the same distance as we do now. But Proxima Centauri is 50% larger. The storms raging in Jupiter's atmosphere are nothing compared to the gas movement in the outermost shell of this core. Jupiter could be compared to an onion. What happens in one layer hardly affects the next one. But Proxima Centauri is a glowing agglomeration of gases. The enormous heat created in the interior by the fusion of hydrogen atoms is moving outward. Yes, the star is too dense to radiate the heat from its interior. The heat has to fight its way to the outside by initiating enormous currents that transport hot gas outward into cooler regions. Hot gas whose components are charged and whose movement, therefore, creates huge magnetic fields. These fields burst like bubbles on the surface, flinging material into space as solar protuberances. At a distance of some 250,000 kilometers, we are clearly outside the range of these normal protuberances. No one can exclude the possibility of a particularly strong magnetic field discharging, though. If this were to occur, we would see the millions of degrees hot spurts of solar matter racing toward us, but we could hardly escape them. So I enjoy the unique chance to study this red dwarf from such a close distance. But while the disk of Proxima Centauri hangs below us and almost completely fills my field of vision, I cannot suppress a feeling of unease. I zoom in on the image. Because I have no body to anchor me in the ship, it feels like I am falling directly into the sun. I am falling lower and lower, with the giant gas bubbles coming toward me. Watching a working fusion power plant is great. The surface resembles boiling soup, but it is much more dangerous. I am not afraid of small, hot splashes hitting my naked skin. No, I have the feeling there is a huge animal swimming below the surface and waiting to catch those who get too curious. I imagine seeing its sparkling scales in the moving plasma, and when the arc of a magnetic field stands vertically to the surface, it might as well be the creature's tail fin. It is almost as if I notice the hair on my neck rising, while I am instinctively trying to keep my distance, and at the same time, I consciously attempt to further magnify the image in order to get closer. I know that all of this is only a virtual impression. The spaceship is far enough away, but it feels as if I am a surfer, fearlessly riding the plasma waves of the sun, without knowing that soon a tsunami is going to crash down on him. Marchenko, I hear via the ship's radio. Could you take a look at this? When I return, I shudder with relief. It is Eve. She appears to have taken some measurements of Proxima Centauri as well. I took a closer look at the data about the last flares, she says. And what did you find? I ask. Well, we determined an average period of 40 days. Yes, that is correct. I was concerned about this averaging. The data could also be interpreted differently, Eve says. Sure, I confirm. There are always different ways of drawing conclusions from raw data. It could be the period is regularly fluctuating, and therefore it varies. Take a look at this. She uploads a spreadsheet into memory. Eve is right. The data could be interpreted differently. However, there is a problem. Your thesis lacks significance, Eve, I say. We don't have enough data to prove or disprove it. That's why it was sorted out by the algorithms. Yes and no, she replies. It is true that we don't possess sufficient data, but there is a coincidence we have overlooked so far. Look here. Eve presents a chart showing the activity of the magnesium spectral line during flares. She goes on to explain. When the flares occurred earlier, this was always announced by a corresponding activity in the magnesium line. This is also correct. Up to now, we did not pay attention to this, as we consider the variances to be insignificant. 100% of all cases, that is significant, I say. What kind of period are we talking about? From the increased activity to the flare, it's about 84 hours, she answers. What Eve has found is very important. It means that most of the time we can rely on the 40-day period. And if that isn't the case, measuring the Proxima Centauri spectrum would give us a timely warning 3.5 days before the event. I also took a look at the current spectrum. Eve is really thorough. And what does it report? I ask. An hour ago, the activity increased. Her answer leaves me at a loss for words. Yet Eve looks surprisingly calm. She knows just as well as I do that it will be a close call. We have about 4 days until we will be safely behind the planet. And if Eve's theory is correct, the next flare will arrive half a day earlier.